Open your Bibles, if you would, to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Before I forget, I guess we'll have a men's prayer breakfast this Friday at about 9:15, 9:30, something like that. If that works for everybody. If it doesn't, let me know, and we'll go ahead and assign your plate to somebody that's really hungry. Amen. Brother Jerry's got his hand up. Brother Jim's got his up. They said we'll take two of each. Amen. But we look forward to a time of fellowship and prayer and Bible study. The Lord is always good. Fellowship's always good. Sometimes the biscuits and gravy and eggs are good. Amen. But the Lord's always good. So this Friday, about 9:15, 9:30 or so, we're planning on men's prayer breakfast. Genesis chapter 2. I just want to talk for a few minutes tonight about eternal life. And we're going to use the runway of Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis chapter number 2, beginning in verse number, let's start in verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man with whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first was Pison, that is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is Delium and onyx stone, and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon, the same is it that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel. That is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now we understand in Genesis chapter 3 that the devil comes and tempts Eve, and Eve eats of that fruit of the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and she offers that fruit to Adam, and he did eat, and they died. And we understand they're talking about a spiritual death. Man was made to live forever. Man was made in God's image, and the image of God. Adam was made in God's image with body, soul, and spirit, three parts. Just like God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And man had three parts. God had made him that way, body, soul, and spirit. And what happened when they ate that fruit, that body was destined to go back to the dust of the ground eventually. But spiritually speaking, he died instantly. He died instantly for disobeying God, for eating of that fruit. That one rule that he had, he broke it. Now we look at Ephesians chapter 2, if you would. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Look at verse number 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved. So here we're looking at that, the fact that we were dead spiritually, and then God quickened us. Adam died spiritually immediately when he ate that fruit. It's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual death that he had suffered. It's spiritual life that God gives us. And, you know, God breathed in the nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And then that soul was alive. And then death come upon Adam when he sinned against God. We're talking about a spiritual death. Now we're looking at spiritual life. In verse 5, again, in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, "And when ye were, when we were dead in sins, or even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you're saved." He had quickened us. He had given us eternal life. He didn't save our flesh. Our flesh was already alive, so to speak. Amen. It was already walking around, doing what it did, doing what it pretty much what it wanted to do, serving the flesh and the devil and serving sin. And God saved our soul. He quickened us spiritually, and he gave us eternal life. He didn't save the flesh. The flesh is going to the grave. The flesh cannot be saved. And I want to go over a few things tonight. I want to go over this because I want us to be able, as a church, as church members, to be able to talk to folks. And when they come to us and they say, "Hey, you know, I got saved, but I lost it." And we say, "Well, no, you didn't lose it." Or when they say, "Well, you know, how do you get saved?" Or how could you, some people say they're saved and then they do something that's wrong. Well, because God didn't save your flesh. Your flesh still does stupid things. Anything against God is a stupid thing, amen? The flesh still wants to go the wrong way. The flesh still does stupid things. The flesh is not saved. That's why this mortal is going to put on immortal. We're going to leave this world. We're going to drop this flesh at the sound of the last trump. He's going to call us out of here. We're going to drop this flesh. But we're going to live forever spiritually because we're in Christ. And we talk about this a lot in church services, even the fact that Christ... when you trust Christ, he moves into you. He indwells you. And he is the Spirit of God. He gives you the earnest of the Spirit. You have the indwelling Spirit of Christ in you. That's the earnest. That's the down payment on the eventual completed salvation. And when, you know, we leave this world one way or the other, we're gonna, that salvation will be complete. We're going to leave this body. You know, and that's just an added bonus, amen? You don't have to take the flesh with you. Praise God. Heaven wouldn't be heaven if the flesh could go. Matter of fact, God would have to keep recreating heaven over and over and over again because the flesh keep messing everything up. But God's got a better plan than that. He said, "I'm going to save your soul. Your flesh isn't saved. You're going to drop that thing. It's going to go back to the dirt. Worms are going to eat it." On and on and on. But your soul's saved. Spiritual life. Look at Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now listen, we are saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you are saved. Your flesh is not you. Your flesh is just a transport vessel through this world. What we're looking at is a bunch of wicked flesh that we're waiting to get rid of. You're saved, but you're not your flesh. You are your soul. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, their flesh and their soul became entangled. And that soul couldn't go to heaven because that flesh is filthy. Turn to Colossians, you know. Well, let's look at Ezekiel first. Turn to Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel 18. Isn't it good to be in church? Yeah. Praise God. I like being in church. Gives me a break from me once in a while too. Amen. You ever need a break from you? Amen. I'll tell you something I did stupid today. I'm going to go ahead and confess. Y'all probably didn't do anything stupid, but I got you covered. I did something dumb enough for all of us. Now, back in the old days, with motorcycle gas tanks and stuff, they had the pitcock on the valve, you know, where you shut the gas off. They had a seal inside, and they screwed together, or they had a nut inside, or what have you. And that's how you got things apart, changed the pitcock. Well, I've been working on this old lawnmower, and it's an old lawnmower, and this thing's about ready to give up the ghost. Matter of fact, it does every once in a while. The Lord just breathes life back into it. But I got the wheels fixed on it last night because I had some bearing issues. Finally found the bearings to fit. Got them things about midnight last night. I got this thing back together. It's driving me nuts. I went ahead and slapped it back together so I could use it to cut grass today. Dumped gas in it this morning, fired it up, and gas is dumping out of the gas tank. And I'm like, oh, now what? So it's leaking around that pit car. And I'm looking at that thing, and I'm twisting it, and I'm thinking, man, that rubber's no good. So I get this brilliant idea, right? Because I'm a man, I don't need instructions. Amen. Men, real men don't ask questions, they just do stupid stuff. Amen. So I take the tank off, and I cut a hole on top of the tank. Just a flap. So I can get my hand in there and get that nut off, replace this pickup. And I'm thinking, now I got to figure out how to seal this tank up. But when I got it open, I figured out that all you have to do is pull it out. So now I got a hole on top of my gas tank. Which at least I cut it in the top, amen. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He give this idiot a little bit of sense to at least cut it in the top so it won't leak as easy. But I didn't know. The Moore was made in 1984. I thought, you know, the old motorcycles and stuff, you had screws and bolts and stuff. But no, it just pulls right out. So, anyway, I got to put that thing back together. But real men don't ask for, they don't ask questions. We don't need instruction. We just need to learn the hard way, and then finally I'll ask my wife, and then maybe she'll Google it and find out from now on. Amen? It was a good night. Anyway, sometimes we need a break from us. But you're saved. Your flesh isn't saved. Your soul is saved. You're going to heaven, whether you like it or not. Sometimes I get here on Sunday morning and I'm like, man, half these people are disappointed they're saved, I think. And the other half are disappointed that we're not eating right now or something. I don't know what it is. But we do. We need a break from us. We are saved, saved, saved. It's our soul that the battle was over, and we won that battle. The Lord won that battle on Calvary. We won it when we trusted Christ. In Ezekiel chapter 18, well, let's look at verse 18. As for his father, because he cruelly oppressed, spoiled his brother by violence, and did that which is not good among his people, lo, even he shall die in his iniquity. So let's talk about somebody dying in their sin or in unrighteousness. Yet say ye, why doth not the Son bear the iniquity of the Father? When the Son hath done that which is unlawful, or which is lawful, excuse me, and right, and hath kept all my statutes and hath done them, he shall surely live. Verse 20. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And then the rest of the verse. But the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's what happened in the garden. When Adam sinned, his soul died. God breathed into Adam the breath of life, and man became a living soul. His spirit entered man and gave man life. You know what Adam had? Before God breathed into his nostrils, he was just a form of a man. The flesh couldn't get up and do anything. He was just laying there. Right? He was incomplete until God breathed in him. Then he became a living soul. Adam, when God breathed that life into him, that life was, it was eternal. He was going to live forever. But he sinned against God. So the first Adam failed. Right? In Ezekiel, we see that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So we're looking at the soul. Look at Colossians chapter 2. A lot of these things we've dealt with at different times, but I want to look at them together tonight and see some things here. Colossians chapter 2. Well, let's start in verse 9. Talking about Jesus Christ. For in Him, Christ, in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Because Jesus Christ is God, amen. And ye are complete in Him. You're not complete when you're lost. When you get saved, you're in Christ and He's in you, and you're complete in Him. Him being in you, you does not complete you. It gives you eternal life. You being in Him and Him being complete makes us complete. We're in Christ. He's in us. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. Okay, now, turn with me. Keep your finger there in Colossians 2. But turn back with me to Luke 16 real quick. And I know we've talked about some of this stuff. I just want to kind of put it together tonight so we can help somebody else, you know. And it'll help us. And when the devil comes along and say, well, you know, you lost it. Well, no, I didn't. I might have lost it, but I didn't lose my salvation. I lost some things. Lost my car keys, lost the remote, lost my temper. But I didn't lose my salvation, amen. Matter of fact, I can't lose it because God's got a hold of it for me. You know, all I have to do is look to Him. He's got it. It's His salvation. In Luke 16, dealing with Lazarus and the rich man, in verse 22 it says, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, mercy, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now again, we talked about this before. I want to look at it again, though, because this rich man is in hell, and he's looking up with his eyes, and he's looking for water for his tongue, because he has eyes and a tongue. It's a soul. His flesh wasn't in hell, right? It's his soul. So Adam and Eve, when they sinned, their soul and their flesh were stuck together, but the soul has a flesh shape. And what happened in Colossians chapter 2, if you'll turn back there with me, it says, in whom you, in verse 11, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So what happens is God comes in and He takes Christ. He performs that operation of God. You got a soul. You got a body. They both have eyes. They both have a tongue. They both have the body form. And He comes in and He separates the soul from the flesh. That's how you can be saved and still sin. Because you don't sin anymore. Your flesh does. Because you're not your flesh. If you're your flesh, then God lied when He said He saved you. He didn't save you in the flesh. He saved your soul. And how did He save your soul? He disconnected your soul from your flesh. And one of these days He's going to disconnect us permanently from this flesh. But your soul is not connected to your flesh anymore. Your soul has been moved to Christ. Christ is in you. You are in Him. He has saved your soul. Now you could lose your health. You could lose your life. You could lose all this stuff as far as your flesh goes. But you're not going to lose your salvation because He saved your soul. You know, the Bible talks about he that has trusted Christ has ceased from sin. It talks about ceasing from sin. And you know, if you're saved, you don't sin. That's true. Because you are your soul. Your soul does not sin. You are not your flesh. Your flesh sins. However, on this earth, you are still physically connected and go through the emotions and go through the pain and everything that this flesh reaps from sowing and reaping. Amen? So how can a person get saved and still sin? Well, he can and he can't, because you're not your flesh. You've been separated from your flesh. Your soul is you. When I look at Sister Debbie, when I look at Brother Jim, when I look at Sister Shirley, when I look at Sister Sheila, anybody in here that's trusted Christ their Lord and Savior, Brother Jerry, on down the line, I'm not looking at you. I'm looking at your flesh. I can look at your eyes and I can see into your soul. It's a window into who you really are. Amen. That's why there's all this science about eyes. You know, well, when they look up in this direction, they're making up stories. Or, you know, up here, they're, you know, they can't look you in the eye. Can't you look me in the eye? You ever did it to your kids? Look me in the eye. Tell me you didn't put that in a toaster. Amen. And they're like, you know, they can't do it. Because your eyes, they tell the truth. They tell the truth. But here we are, and we're souls meeting together for a spiritual meeting. We want this to be a spiritual meeting so we can get something from the Lord and we can be a blessing to the Lord. You know, Paul said, talked about Christ, that he served in his, who he served in his spirit. This flesh doesn't want to serve God. This flesh wants to be at home watching TV, drinking a milkshake, and dozing off right now. Amen. Or doing something worse. But it's your soul. Remember when Lot used his physical, emotional, physical being to decide which way he was going, he ended up pitching his tent towards Sodom. He wasn't praying about it, he just pitched his tent towards Sodom. And you know what it says that happened to Lot? He vexed his righteous soul. He didn't vex his flesh. His flesh was at the door of Sodom going, man, there's probably something in there I'd like. Wicked as the devil. He vexed his soul. So there's a difference between your flesh and your soul. Once you're saved, there's a difference between your flesh and your soul. Amen. And like I say, the flesh is just a vessel. Just a vessel carrying us through. And matter of fact, look at Romans 6. Romans 6. Jesus Christ. And remember, again, to help us kind of put these things in their place, in the Old Testament, God dealt primarily physically with the Jews. They were looking for a physical land. He was giving them physical blessings. He was telling them to do physical things, right? He told them to do 8 days. In your eighth day, day of new, number of new beginnings, to circumcise the male children. That's a physical circumcision. We come along New Testament church age, and God performs a spiritual circumcision on us at salvation. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. We're baptized into Christ, and He separates our soul from our flesh, baptizes us into Christ. We're in Christ now. We're alive in Christ now because of the operation of God. So when somebody says, well, yeah, you know, Christians, you know, Christians. I'm not talking about Christians. I'm talking about being saved. You need to be born again. And when you're born again forever. Right? That's what Jesus Christ said. You must be born again. Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, well, let's read down through here a ways. I don't know if I want to read all that far. We'll see. Verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now you jump on down, and let's jump on down to verse, let's look at 11. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. In verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies. That means we have a limit. These bodies are going to die. Let not sin reign in your mortal body. Ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. But if you go back to the first thing we just read here, in verse 2, it says, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Because here's what happens. Remember in Acts chapter, where are we at? Acts chapter 21, I'm thinking, I don't have it written down. I'm trying to remember where it's at. In Acts 21 or so, it says, faith toward God and repentance toward the Lord Jesus Christ. It's talking about salvation. It's talking about putting our repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. It's talk about turning, repenting. Now, here's the reason we have to understand, and repentance is necessary for salvation. In Romans 6, it says, how shall we that are dead to sin? What happens is we're alive physically and we're dead spiritually until we trust Christ. And then it's a role reversal. Now we're alive spiritually, but we're judged dead physically. This flesh is already judged dead. Guess who judged it dead when you got saved? If you're saved, you judged it dead. You said, this flesh is wicked and it deserves to burn in hell. And God said, yeah, but my son died for you. And guess what? When he died and he went to the grave, Christ went to hell for you. His body was in the grave. His soul was in hell. His flesh was in the grave. His flesh is what Mary was looking for. And when it was gone, she was weeping. And what rose again? That flesh rose again, but it was dead. Remember? He had holes in him. He didn't have any blood in him. It was alive, but it was alive by the power of God. It was no longer alive by the blood. It was dead. And when you trust Jesus Christ, God says, your flesh is wicked. You are deserving of hell. And you say, I agree, I'm guilty. I'm going to turn from me, I'm going to turn to you, I'm going to trust you. And that's repentance. You don't have to know what the word is, never have to hear the word a day in your life. But it's something you do. You judge yourself guilty and dead, and I'm alive in Christ. It's a judgment. And he says, why, if you're already judged the flesh dead, why sin? Why let the flesh have any power over you if you already judged it dead? You see, the thing is, the flesh constantly tries to resurrect itself because the flesh wants to do wicked things. It does. And if you're not careful, you'll spend your whole life vexing your soul. You're not going to lose your salvation, though, because you are not your flesh. Your flesh does affect things. It'll affect your rewards in heaven, amen? It'll affect your testimony here. That's why you're supposed to be clean. And look, I'm not preaching down to you like we're all, like I'm perfect. I'm just saying. You judged yourself guilty and your flesh was judged dead at salvation. So don't let it resurrect. Amen? We're just trying to get through here glorifying God the best we can with clean testimonies and see God breathe on this church and do what He wants to do with it. But we're saved. This isn't us. You can dress this flesh up all you want. Women only here for this comment. You can put makeup on all you want. Amen. Women again, you can put the prettiest dress on all you want. Men, you can get the best manicure. I don't do that stuff. I don't know. It's a womanicure, isn't it? Ain't a manicure. I can go to a woman and have her fix my fingernails. Good night. But anyway, you can put on the nicest suit. You can have the best hairdo. You can have a $1,000 pair of shoes, $1,000, $1,500 shoestrings in them. I don't care what you do with it. You're still wicked flesh. Amen. You can dress it up. What'd they say about lipstick on a pig? It's still a pig. Amen. That's what the Pharisees were doing, and that's what Jesus Christ said. He said, it's not what goes in the mouth, it's what comes out. He said, it's not the outward things, it's what's in that shows you what's really there. So if you're letting your flesh have its way, it's because you got a problem on the inside. Amen? Because the flesh doesn't have any power over you that you don't give it. Matter of fact, it's already been judged dead. John chapter 3, verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The first birth was all about the flesh. The second birth is about the soul. That's where He saves your soul. Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. He didn't seal your flesh. He sealed your soul. Honestly, if nobody else enjoyed it, that was worth me coming to church for, because I'm glad that I'm not this. I'm glad that I'm already saved. My soul is good. Nothing anybody can do about it. I can't even mess it up. Amen. I can mess some stuff up. You don't believe me, I'll show you my lawnmower later. Amen. But I can't even mess it up. I'm in the Father's hand and nobody can pluck me out. No man, not even me. Because He didn't save my flesh. He saved my soul. And, you know, that'll give you something to be happy about, amen? Amen. Something to be joyful about. Yep. You're saved. So when you get up in the morning and you look in the mirror and you're wanting to give the devil all the credit for the bad day yesterday, just be honest with yourself and say, it's that flesh. That ain't me. Because I'm already as good as air because he's at the right hand of God and I'm in him. Right now, amen? Praise God. That gives the devil less ammunition to use against you too. Right? Oh, you do wicked things. Oh, no, I don't. I'm in Christ. And he's in me. So you get up in the morning, look at the flesh and say, hey, mean you're going to have a battle today? By the grace of God, the Lord's going to win. Amen? And I'm getting a little bit tired of you, but I'll be good to you if you obey me. And we'll just wait for the Lord to call me out of you. Amen? You can talk to your flesh if you want. Earl does. Remember Earl? Just tell yourself no. Isn't it good to be saved? I'm glad we have a Bible. If you didn't have a Bible, you'd have got saved. Somebody had told you lost it, and you'd been a mess the rest of your life. Amen? And the devil could come in there every day, and he could say, this is true, this is true, this is true, this is true, and you wouldn't be able to check him on it. We got a book. And this book says that God, Jesus Christ, separated me from this and placed me in him. And I'm at the right hand of God the Father with you all, if you're saved. Amen? And I'm up there waiting to not be connected to this anymore. Amen? But this is how he chose to do his work, is by leaving us in this for a temporary time. And so we can go and talk to other physical beings about spiritual things. But it's not about this flesh. It'll help you another way, too, when you're looking at the guy with the hula hoops, the nose ring, all that stuff. That's just his flesh. God wants his soul. Right. Amen? God might have his soul. We're looking at the flesh. Amen? Anyway, I thought that'd be fun tonight. Check that out. I'm excited about being saved and sealed. Amen? And I enjoy most of life. And when I don't, it's my fault. But I am looking forward to heaven. Amen. Amen.